The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, we got hockey coming your way. Two great ESPN Hockey Night matchups on the way. Connor McDavid and the Oilers in Pittsburgh to take on Sid Crosby and the Pens. That's 7 Eastern. Then the West leading Avs hosting the Blues. Both games also available on ESPN+. Before we start a new hour, I just wanted to see this again. So Micah Parsons, football star, being asked to drop the puck at an AHL game in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Watch. Just go out there and drop the puck. And that's what he does.
I mean, the coaching got to be more specific. You got to tell him to go out and wait for the other players. You tell the man the job to do, he did it. Good for him.
I mean, that's, again, he's supposed to wait, JJ, for the captains to come out.
This is why communication matters. I'm not sure anybody told him what he was supposed to do.
No, clearly not. And that's Neek's point. Like, they said, go out there and drop the puck. He said, gotcha, coach.
That's great.
I'm sorry. I haven't been sleeping enough lately. That's the funniest thing I've seen in a very long time. All right, with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We are live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Stephen A. is going to be with us in this hour. Yes, that was a puck drop like a mic drop. And you know what? The end dropped on the Brooklyn Nets last night. Let's roll it here because it is time to get up for hour number two. It is time to get up and get out. Let's roll the open. It's not rolling yet is what I'm being told. So then just roll the highlight then. Let's get to Brooklyn last night. J.J. Redick was at the game last night between the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. Boston up 3 games to none headed in. All kinds of trouble for Brooklyn. And this man who played 18 years in the NBA was
going
to take
18.
In all
now
the action.
18.
Oh, and there it is for the love of all things holy. Here we go. Celtics up 3 games to none as we head in. Kevin Durant. He needed him to be more aggressive last night, J.J., and he was.
Big, big difference in the level of aggression between game 3 and game 4. Incredible sense of urgency from him. Big game, it wasn't enough.
He would score 39, but on the other side, the budding superstar. Jason Tatum isn't coming. He has arrived. Celtics up 8 at the half. Third quarter, more Tatum.
This move right here, the step back, tough. I mean, his bag right now is as complete as any offensive player. This little shimmy, ew. Up and under, finger roll, that's tough.
He would score 29. Celtics had a 12-point lead in the fourth quarter. But then this moment, they foul him out on that play.
I don't get that call. It's not an offensive foul. And by the way, on the previous inbound, Goran Dragic had fouled him and they didn't call it.
So that give the Nets a chance. And Kyrie Irving would take advantage. He'd knock down a 3. That made it a 3-point game. Kyrie scored 20. Then here comes Durant. He would finish with 39. That one makes it a 1-point game with a minute and a half to go. Under 30 seconds. The Nets are down by 3. Durant bringing it up. Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year, trying to make the defensive play. But he gets called for the foul. So Durant is going to the line, 22 seconds to go. He would make the first, so it's a 2-point game. He would miss the second. JJ, they're not going to get the foul. Jaylen Brown is just standing there.
Game 1 and game 4, just a lack of execution in crunch time for the Brooklyn Nets.
Including no one boxing out Al Horford there. And he puts it in the bucket that ends at 116-112. The Celtics win. They bring the brooms to Brooklyn after the game. KD, what?
No regrets. It happens. You know, no crying over spilled milk. It's about how we can progress and get better from here. We can't have no regrets on what we did. It just played out the way it played.
I think it was just really heavy emotionally this season. We all felt it. I felt like I was letting the team down at a point where I wasn't able to play. And I think it became a distraction at times. And, you know, as you see, we just had some drastic changes. But now we just turn the page and look forward to what we're building as a franchise and really get tougher.
So I'm not exactly sure how much solace you take from the fact that As sweeps go, this was a particularly close one. The Nets lost game one at the buzzer. They had a 10-point lead at the half of game two. And in total, they wind up losing, as you can see, by just 18 points the four games. It's almost as close as any sweep has ever been in NBA postseason history. Again, that if you're looking up damning with faint praise in the dictionary, maybe that would be the perfect example of it. And here's my Uncle Seth, no relation, Seth Greenberg. But, JJ, I want to come back to you on something you said, because you played like 21 years in the NBA, so you have a real understanding of this stuff. You said that maybe there's a cautionary tale in this story about super teams. We have lived in the super team era from the moment LeBron James took his talent to Miami. Could one say that maybe the super team era is in jeopardy here?
The super team era actually started with the Boston Celtics. And I'll say something about both the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. There was at least one of those big three that was homegrown.
Right.
Paul Pierce, Dwayne Wade.
Right.
The cautionary tale here is, I've said this time and time again this season, whether it's the Lakers or the Nets, when you build a top-heavy roster, it is very difficult to – I know these guys are talented. It is very difficult to win come playoff time. The Boston Celtics had a complete roster, multiple two-way players. Marcus Smart, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, the list goes on. All those guys, you know, besides Al Horford, they were drafted. They were drafted by the Celtics.
Right.
This is their culture. This is the thing that they've built. It's very easy to get caught up in trying to sign talent or trade for talent, but you need to draft well. You need a draft one.
That's such an interesting way of looking at it. And so, Seth, I want to come to you as a lifelong, you know, I mean, no one is more basketball than you are, and you've been a coach your whole life. There are many of us, I mean, who have been watching the games our whole life who just think, you know, the team with the better players is going to win. And he's talking about homegrown and all this kind of stuff. It's culture. And I think some of us sometimes think that's overrated. And the best team, the best players just wind up winning. What did we see here?
We saw a team that was together for 21 games, basically. 21 games. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant play together. You're not going to develop an identity, a culture, a trust, and you're not going to win close games. You're not going to be able to win competitive close playoff games for sure when you haven't had shared experience. That's just what it is. And JJ made a great point earlier when he talked about multi-positional players, multi-positional athletic players that can defend more than one position. You look at the makeup of the Nets team. All right, they've got two superstars that haven't played together but 21 games. And then the players surrounding them, 3 through 8, they really don't fit with those two guys. All right, in the new world of the NBA, you need multi-positional, what I call floor gamers, that can defend and also make plays that complement your two best players. They don't have those players on that roster right now.
Fascinating. They actually do have one on their roster.
Yeah.
He just that would be the perfect way to describe him. Ben Simmons is on their roster. So, and Ben is someone you know, and I know you have a good relationship with him. We were there Saturday night. I saw you go over and share a moment with him. So let's spin this thing forward. Kyrie, you're going to hear all this sound later, but Kyrie's talking about coming back. KD is coming back. They're bringing this thing back. If you put a healthy Ben Simmons onto this team next year, they began this year as the favorite to win the NBA championship. Would they be the favorite to win it next year with Simmons?
Probably not. But
no.
There certainly would be a much better team. So they're going to add Ben Simmons, hopefully healthy. Joe Harris, hopefully healthy and recovers from his ankle surgeries. The thing they got to figure out, how do they use their tax pyramid level? It's about $6.4 million. How did they use that? They need to find, hopefully, on a bargain, a good two-way positional player that can also knock down threes. There's a little bit of redundancy in their roster right now with Kyrie Irving, Seth Curry, Patty Mills. When you get to playoff time, two of those guys are on the court almost at all times, and there's a lot of targeting when you play against a team like the Celtics, who has Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, and can go into ISOs.
You just can't have these little guys on the court, basically,
is what you're saying. I lived it, Seth. Towards the end of my career, I was the guy that they targeted.
Right.
I know how this works.
And you're bigger than them, I mean, to the point. I've stood next to you, and I've stood next to them, and you're bigger than those guys are. Is this a team? Well, let's then put a ribbon on it here. Seth, I think a lot of us want to throw blame around here. Do you feel like this is a day for blame? Do you feel like this is the criticism they've been receiving? Do you feel like it is all justified?
It's a day for reflection. You got to look at and you got to learn from it. Like Steve Nash, we talked about him earlier. He's going to grow as a coach from this experience, but he didn't have his team together. So to me, I thought the best game that he coached in the whole series was last night. the agility and the changes that he made. But when you don't have your team together, you don't even know the team you're coaching. The blame is basically that Kyrie Irving played 21 games this season. How are you going to develop a trust with your teammates? A blame is you can't control, obviously, injury. I don't think Ben Simmons is the answer because I think Ben Simmons is an if when the game is on the line. Can he rebound? Can he defend? Can he pass? Is he good in the open floor? All those things are great. I'd question JJ and say, do those things translate in the playoffs as much as they do during the course of the regular season?
It's a good question, JJ. What's the answer?
No, it's a great question. The reason you're basing that off something that had happened in Philly, and I've always said this, when you get to the playoffs, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are not a perfect fit together. I think Ben Simmons absolutely complements Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant as that third piece.
All right, we're going to find out. I got Stephen A. Smith on his way in here. We will talk. You know he's got plenty to say about this on this morning, and he will. In the meantime, let me show you what else happened last night in the NBA. Oh, my goodness, a very strange thing has happened on the way to a six. Sixers sweep in the first round. They came home up 3-1 last night, and the Raptors just took it to them. That's Scotty Barnes early showing you why he's the NBA's Rookie of the Year. Coast to coast he goes, and then how good, JJ, is Pascal Siakam?
He's been great this series. We're getting to see his full package, 22-7-5. A little theme here, a lot of big wings, whether it's the Celtics or the Raptors. OG Anunoby knocking down the triple here. Siakam, Gary Trent Jr., Scotty Barnes.
Siakam at 23, Anunoby at 16, and there's James Harden turning the ball over. He did not have a broken record. He did not have a good game, and the Raptors did. They stung the Sixers, and it wasn't close. They're headed back to Toronto. Hey, Joel, how about Harden?
I've been saying all season since he got here, you know, he just needs to be aggressive and he needs to be himself. That's not really my job. That's probably on coach to, you know, talk to him and tell him to, you know, take more shots, especially if they're going to guard me the way they've been guarding. That's really not my job.
Well, it may not be his job, but it certainly sounds like he's doing it. And so the question then becomes this, as they head into sort of uncharted territory. Seth, we said before the postseason began, there was no player in the NBA under more pressure to perform than James Harden. With the chances now that they're going back there to a game six and maybe a game seven and the historical implications, how would you describe the pressure on Harden right now?
There's a tremendous amount of pressure. JJ mentioned it in the earlier segment. He's not the same James Harden. I don't talk about playoff James Harden. He does not have the ability to turn the corner and get by his man. He does not have the ability to put a guy on his hip, play him to the front of the rim, and explode and finish through contact. That's not who he is, but he does need to be more aggressive because when he's more aggressive, it makes the game easier for Tobias Harris. It makes the game easier for Tyrese Maxey. If he's not aggressive, then all of a sudden those guys aren't playing the closeouts, and all of a sudden they have a harder time to score. So just him being aggressive, playing more downhill, trying to get in the lane, will make the game easier for everyone.
What do you think? Again, 3-0 down. It's never happened in NBA history. Obviously, we saw it happen with the Red Sox and the Yankees a generation ago. I mean, the pressure really gets ratcheted up as we go forward here.
No, the pressure definitely does. And going back now to Toronto for Game 6, Look, there's pressure on Toronto because they're down in the series. Let's be very clear on that. But there's absolute pressure on the 76ers. To Seth's point about James and to Joel's quote, to me it's not about shooting more. It's about scoring efficiently. At this point in James's career, he is a premier playmaker and facilitator. He is not the James Harden we saw in Houston, or really even the James Harden as a scorer we saw prior to the hamstring injury. So it's not about shooting more to me, it's about scoring efficiently. He's 12 for 31 in this series inside 10 feet. He's got to pick it up just in terms of efficiency.
He was 2 of 6 from three last night. He only took 6 foul shots. He had 7 assists and 5 turnovers. I mean, I'm sorry, that's not good enough. If you're
no,
James,
it's not good enough. It's not good enough.
When your center is hurt, it's not good enough.
100%. I was just going to say that. If it's not good enough, if Joel Embiid is not able to be Thanos, basically. You know, Joel Embiid is a world killer. And if Joel is hurt, they brought in James Harden to be that second superstar. And as good as he is right now, because he's still good, let's be very clear on that, Mike. He's good, but he's not playing at that superstar level we've come to expect.
I'm going back to February.
And we're sitting here, and the trade of the millennium happens, right? Harden goes one way, Simmons goes the other. And the way this thing plays out, Simmons doesn't play at all. The Nets get swept. And now the Sixers are sort of knocking on the door of the most humiliating defeat in playoff history. Who would have believed this is where we would wind up? Again, Stephen A. is on his way in with plenty of perspective on that. Who is in charge in Brooklyn? You need to hear what Kyrie Irving had to say about his role with the Nets. I can't wait to hear what Stephen A. has to say about that. He'll be here in 15 minutes. And then, oh, by the way, it's draft week. The man with the biggest decision to make on draft day will tell you exactly what he's planning to do about his disgruntled superstar. All right, you'll hear that next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and in the NFL, the biggest pre-draft story continues to be the trade request of Niners star receiver Deebo Samuel. Yesterday, the 49er GM John Lynch was talking about the predicament in which he and his team finds itself. Take a listen.
I can't ever imagine, you know, wanting to move on from Deebo. You put yourself through the exercises of, you know, you, even though we don't have a first-round pick, you have to be thorough in this process and prepare for everything. And so you go through and do that. He's just too good of a player. We've got nothing but love for him and nothing but appreciation for what he's bought, but you just don't let guys like that walk. So I can't envision a scenario where we would.
All right, so as a general manager, listening to a general manager, Mike T, what'd you hear there?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Okay, I'm obviously not the only one who doesn't hear him. Jeremy Fowler, we'll work on that. Jeremy Fowler, let's talk about what you're hearing around the league about the possibility of a trade.
Yeah, Greeny, I've been checking in with someone involved in the process. I'm told the 49ers do not want to move Deebo Samuel, but they're at least willing to listen to offers because that's a responsible thing to do. I've heard the Jets have interest. Detroit Lions have some level of interest. Green Bay Packers have some level of interest, although that would be unlikely because they're fierce NFC rivals.
Yeah.
And so teams know this would take a massive haul, probably a first-round pick as a baseline. And Deebo Samuel's dug in. I continue to hear that he is not going to move off his position. And so the next 48 hours could heat up in a big way.
And so let's just, as an acquiring team potential, I'm told that we have Mike T's audio back. Mike T, not only are we talking about what you have to give up to get him, but then there's also the contract. Because, you know, you've got Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill setting this receiver market. So I guess I'd ask the question. I love Deebo Samuel. But is he worth all of the compensation you'd have to give up for him? And then, let's call it $25 to $28 million a year? Okay, that's obviously still also not working. Okay. Dominique, let me go to you on all this. Let's talk about just how good of a player he is. One of the things that makes him so special is diversity. He can do so many different things on that offense. If he doesn't do all those, one of the things we've heard is maybe he doesn't want to do that anymore. If he doesn't, is he an upper echelon, you know, superstar wide receiver?
I mean, we haven't seen it yet. I think what the reason why he was so impactful and so special in San Francisco is the combination of his ability to do everything and Kyle Shanahan's mind. I think that was a perfect match. So I'm not sure if I'm an acquiring team, I'd love to have Deebo Samuel on my team, but I'm not sure I want to pay him like a game-breaking, like number one receiver, because that's not the role he played. I would be more than happy to pay him like a number one receiver who's also a wild card. Like, that would make me happy. I'd be fine with that. But if we have to take that out of our playbook to make him happy, which I'm not upset at him for wanting to take that off the table, because it is shortening his career. Putting him in the backfield is taking years off his career, but it's going to change the way I look at him if I'm an acquiring team, because I want to be able to use all of Debo's assets if he's coming to my team, especially from the Jets, because they certainly could use the help.
Yeah, and that's one of the places that we're talking about. And Jeremy, I mean, as we consider this, the 49ers' decision here is a complicated one, because this is a team that was a couple of snaps away from a Super Bowl. So when you say Deebo is dug in, what exactly? Players don't have the same level of leverage in the new collective bargaining agreement, at least to hold out that they used to. So how does that play itself out if they don't trade him in the next few
days? Yeah, and that's why this is such a massive mystery, because I checked with somebody with the organization that said they have no problems with Deebo Samuel on or off the field. They really do love the guy. He's gelled there well. And I was told, like, we couldn't even get out of the huddle without Deebo Samuel just carrying us through parts of the season. He's that valuable to them. He's probably a better fit for them than any other team in the league. That's why they value him enough where a trade is going to be hard to do. But you talk to teams around the league, they say, great player. Is he a bit of a niche player if it comes to being a polished route runner as a wide receiver? Probably not in that upper echelon, you know, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs category. That does complicate doing a trade for that compensation.
Is he sort of the product of the, to use it, like the mad scientist that Kyle Shanahan is, you know, with all the different things that he can do? All right, I am told that we're going to give another shot to Mike T's microphone here and see how that goes. Mike T, how do you see this situation?
Yeah, I think there's a sense of urgency. The 49ers need resolution by Thursday night, because if they could get the 10th pick, which I think would be a really rich reward if they could do that, they'd be better off doing that than trying to have a problem all summer long. So while John Lynch was great, publicly greedy, there's a sense of urgency behind the scenes. If we can't solve this problem, call the Jets, call the Lions, get the best deal you can get Thursday night. And if you're them, maybe you come out of this with a top 10 pick.
Go ahead, Nate.
I think we've been in Zoom world for 2 years, and I'm proud of Mike T for finally finding how to unmute himself. Well done, Mike. Great job, buddy.
Well, you want the definition.
2 years.
The dictionary definition of irony is that the next thing we are scheduled to do on the show is a feature called Drop the Mic, which is Mike T going to give us a couple of takes on things that he expects to see happen. And after his mic has just dropped this entire segment, let's see how this thing goes. Let's do Drop the Mic as we look ahead to draft day. Mike T, who is going number one overall Thursday night?
And I have a sense of urgency to make this work. I say it's going to be either Ekan Okwuegbunam, the NC State offensive tackle, or Trayvon Walker, which is a big surprise, Green. We thought it'd be Aiden Hutchinson for a while, but it looks like they're going a different direction. Okwuegbunam is a shutdown left tackle. Trayvon Walker is just an absolute freak who doesn't have production and would be at risk to take number one overall.
We will see where they go. In the meantime, who will be the first quarterback drafted Thursday night and when?
Kenny Pickett. I think he'd go as high as number six, the talented quarterback from Pitt. Greeny, he's like your Chad Pennington. Rock solid, smart, steady, not dynamic, not overly athletic, but a really good player that could be a good starter for a long time. He's better than Sam Darnold, could help Matt Rhule keep his job with the Panthers.
Yeah, Chad came into the league a little older as well as Pickett. Who's the most underrated player in this draft?
Right here, number one, Jameson Williams, University of Alabama. He has an ACL injury. That's why he's underrated. If we were running a team, Greeny, for the next 10 years, I don't care if it's one, two, or three, let's get him. He could be Tyreek Hill. He is uncoverable. He destroyed Georgia when he was healthy. So to me, he's underrated if he doesn't go in the top five.
Yes, if you watched his performance against Georgia in the SEC championship game, he got the ACL was in the national championship game. I'm with you. Williams would easily be the first receiver off the board were it not for the injury. All right, coming up, get ready. Stephen A. Smith is on the way. Kyrie Irving is talking about managing the Nets franchise going forward.
Those two things sound to me like the potential for a fascinating conversation. And it's next. Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Start your mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern. They answer the pressing questions around the sports world.
Let's talk about Steph's legacy.
They're going to probably draft an explosive guy.
And deliver their hot takes on breaking news and new developments.
The Lakers are one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
Tune in every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
At the bottom of the hour, you're watching Get Up on ESPN. And if you were just joining us, Celtics-Nets last night, here's how it ended. We'll go right to the fourth quarter. Celtics are playing without Jason Tatum, who had fouled out on a very questionable call. Nets are down by six, but Kyrie Irving knocks down the three to make it a three-point game. Few possessions later, Kevin Durant, he would score 39 in this game. That one makes it a one-point game. Under 30 seconds to go, the Nets are down by three. Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year in the NBA, trying to make the defensive play of the year, but he's called for the foul. So Kevin Durant going to the line, 22 seconds left. That's a three-point game. He would make the first free throw. He would miss the second. And inexplicably, the Nets are not racing up to foul Jaylen Brown. And so now we go the other way. And another breakdown. No one even thinks of boxing out Al Horford, who puts it up and good. And that's all she wrote. Celtics win it 1-6, 1-12. They complete the four-game series sweep of the Brooklyn Nets. And after the game, Kyrie Irving talking about his future.
In terms of my extension, man, I don't really plan on going anywhere. So, you know, this is, like I said, this is added motivation for our franchise to be at the top of the league for the next few years. When I say I'm here with Kev, I think that it really entails us, you know, managing this franchise together alongside Joe and Sean and just our group of family members that we have in our locker room and in our organization.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
So Kyrie Irving says he's looking forward to managing the franchise. And as you can see, Stephen A. Smith is here. And I will tell you that aside from things involving my own family, there's nothing I've ever looked forward to more than asking you the question, Stephen A. What is your reaction to Kyrie saying he looks forward to he and Kev managing the Nets going forward?
Sadness. You know, it's really hard to see and witness a grown man with his level of intelligence be so incredibly, incredibly tone deaf. What in God's name would make him think that he is somebody that deserves to be in a room with management? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were scheduled to play 247 games together. Do you know how many games they played together? 58. And by the way, 58 games, and that man thinks that he would actually be in room with management. Let's plan the future for the Brooklyn Nets. Really? Really? Are you kidding me? This is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy here, because I want to reiterate what I continuously say to people. Kyrie Irving is a spectacular talent who is box office, and from the standpoint of his abilities and the attraction he brings to the game of basketball, he's worth $50 million a year. But I've been on the record saying you pay him 1 year at a time. Because the first thing you have to do is commit to showing up to work. You have to commit to showing up to work. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what it really comes down to. This is not what he does. I ask you a rhetorical question, Mike Greenberg, the great Greeny, who's been around for ages. Did anything about him seem sad about last night's loss? Anything. Anything at all. They didn't just lose, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't just lose in the first round. They got swept. There's 16 teams that's playing. I mean, what is it? It's 16 teams that's playing in the playoffs. They're the only one that got swept.
It's true.
No one else. No one else. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, who I believe to be the greatest player on the planet. They got swept. Did you see anything from Kyrie that said to you, this really hurts. I'm really upset. I can't even think about the future right now. I gotta soak this. This really hurts. It's gonna be a while for me to get over this. No, you didn't see that. No, you didn't see that. And you and I both know that when it comes to contract, ladies and gentlemen, a contract is a commitment. The commitment that somebody invests in you is the presumption that you're going to be committed and that you're going to give us all you've got. Kyrie hasn't done that, and he didn't even do that in the press conference. What else you want me to say?
Well, here's what I want to get to, though, and you're going to be debating J.J. Redick today on First Take, which
starts
in 25
minutes. He's going to try to debate me. He will lose, but go ahead.
Here's what's the conversation he and I had was.
Sure.
Because the reality is, Kyrie, and I'm 100% on your side as far as everything you just said, yeah. But he's just saying the quiet part out loud, because I believe they are going to give him the long-term contract that you don't think they should, and I don't think they should either. But we both know NBA contracts don't work a year at a time. They're going to extend him for 4 years. He's going to have $200 million guaranteed dollars. He is going to have a seat at that table that neither of us believes that he deserves. So the reality is, while it is the dictionary definition of tone deafness to say it out loud, I think it is actually the truth.
Well, and I think it would be a basketball tragedy. I'm not, and I want to emphasize this, because listen, I'm partial players. I want players to get paid. And I want Kyrie to get paid when he's on the court earning his money. My issue is you getting money and you're not on the court. You're taking off when you want to take off. And you're not taking into consideration the collateral damage that you're causing. When you take off for 2 weeks because you're traumatized by the riots and you want to sit up there and reflect on things and you want to spew that there are things more important than basketball, well, in reality, we all know that. But you got the check coming. So it's easy for you to say that. What about other brothers out there, white and black and otherwise? We all brothers here. When we talk about, guess what? They don't have the luxury that you have. They have to come to work. They have to put in that time. They have to take into account that commitment. What about them? What about the fact that you and your laissez-faire attitude might have a detrimental effect on the collective whole and the bottom line of the Brooklyn Nets? If I'm Josiah, if I'm Sean Marks, I take those things into consideration. And I say to myself, listen, I look him dead in his face. These are the number of games you played. Now, I understand that everything couldn't be predicted and there were mitigating circumstances, but at the end of the day, these are the games that you were available to do your job. We know what a talent you are. We know that you also spent the vast majority of the time not putting it on display, which means we weren't getting a return on our investment. They didn't. You out in the first round, okay? You won one playoff series last year, all right? The reality is that you've been here for 3 years. We have one playoff series victory to show for what we're doing here. And you're not helping us because of your lack of commitment. Are you going to be committed? Well, then you shouldn't mind if I give you this $250 million, but I got to opt out after every year. Because that opt-out after every year is strictly on your availability. Are you going to be available to play? We're not talking about injuries. Right. Everybody, injuries happen. We understand you get hurt, you get hurt. That's a given. We understand that. I'm talking about all this other nonsense. You got to show up to work. If Kyrie Irving is willing to show up to work, give him the money. Give him the money. But I would say if you're so committed, you shouldn't mind me having an opt-out after every year just in case you decide that there are things that are more important than basketball that you don't longer want to prioritize. That if you don't want to prioritize it, we shouldn't have to prioritize your money. That's all.
I'm 1,000% on your side. It would be unprecedented to my knowledge in the history of this sport, maybe any sport, but I am fascinated by seeing how it goes on. There's two more things I want to get to.
Sure.
Before I have to let you go. One, the Ben Simmons of it all. If they had him, would it have made a difference? Which I guess is the same way of asking you, they presumptively will have him. Will they be the favorite to win the championship next year with KD, Kyrie, and Simmons?
There's a good chance they'll be a favorite to win the championship
next year.
No. The reason why is because I'm not convinced both will be available. I'm not talking talent. If you tell me that I got the Ben Simmons that I saw in Philadelphia, shooting woes and all, and that I got Kyrie Irving for six... Look at this. It's 82 games in the schedule. Yeah. Give me 65, Kyrie. Give me 65.
Yeah.
Give me 65 games, okay? And you're going to be available in the playoffs. If you're telling me that I got that, then I could tell you Brooklyn should be the favorite. We all know we can't bet our money on that. It's a shame because when you think about the Brooklyn Nets and you're labeling whether you're going to favor them or not, it's not based on ability. It's based on availability. We don't know who's going to be available outside of Kevin Durant. That's the only person we trust to show up to work, along with Bruce Brown and Patty Mills, who, by the way, they should bring back and what have you. You trust those guys. You can't trust Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons to be available. If they're available, yes, you should look at them. The question is, will they be available? All of us doubt it. Every single one of us.
And then that brings us then to the last piece of this. Because Durant, I think we both put in a different category. He gave you what he had. He scored 39 points last night. It wasn't his best series, but he clearly gave you what he had. However, the most interesting point you have repeatedly made all season on NBA Countdown is that he chose this, and he chose Kyrie over the Warriors, the Splash Brothers, and in particularly Steph Curry. So as we wake up this morning with the Warriors, the betting favorite to win the championship, and the Nets swept out, where does that leave Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant is one of the greatest players in NBA history, and I consider to be the best player in the world today, regardless of what just happened in this series, even though it was bad. I think exhaustion played the part. I think we're going to learn that he was a bit injured in this series as well. Let me say this. As great as he is as a player, he's that poor as a leader. You're the face of this franchise, and you've been deferential because you're deferring to your boy, Kyrie. That's your man. He's incredibly loyal and what have you. But Kevin Durant is not just the face of this franchise. And if I sit up there and say this about Kevin Durant, let me say this. Not only is he the face of the franchise, but he has to understand this. It's surreal, and as much of a superstar as he is as a talent, you have to be trustworthy when it comes to galvanizing the troops around you. We should trust Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant gonna give all he got. He's not gonna cheat you. He's gonna step out on the court. He's gonna ball out, come hell or high water. He's gonna give you what he's got. The problem is, he clearly lets others off the hook when they don't. Mm. You cannot win by yourself, and it is not consistent well, what he said was the reason as to why he went to Golden State from OKC. He said, I wanted to be, it was about basketball, it was about style of play, it was about learning the game of basketball and being in a system and an environment where you knew you could flourish. The pieces around him mattered. Well, how do you go from that to Brooklyn and tolerate some of the nonsense that has taken place? You tolerated that because Kyrie convinced you to do so. You have to step up as a leader and show that you are truly deserving of being the face of a franchise by holding people accountable and making sure that they're every bit as invested as you are. If they ain't as invested as you, you got to let Josiah and Sean Marks do what they got to do and let them go. And that's going to be the real test of this franchise. Is Kevin Durant going to allow Josiah and Sean Marks to do what they need to do, because they know what to do. I'm telling you what I know. They know what to do. The problem is they got to worry about Kevin Durant stepping in and saying, no, I want this. And that's the problem.
You were 18 minutes away from Stephen A. and J.J. Redick and company. I will see you in Vegas later in the week. Thank you so much for doing this. Stephen A. Smith, First Take is on the way. Meanwhile, as we continue here, will Baker Mayfield be the steal of draft week? Could he be traded in the next 48 hours? We have the very latest right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, let's play a game of likely or unlikely. Jeremy Fowler, is it likely or unlikely that Deebo Samuel gets traded before the draft?
I'm going to go unlikely. I don't see it. It could happen on the clock minutes after the draft starts. But before then, I'm going to say no because the 49ers love this guy. They're not highly motivated to move him. Although other teams are interested, I don't expect them to offer enough of a blockbuster to get this to the finish line.
All right, we'll keep a close eye. Meanwhile, Mike T, the Chiefs trading up for a wide receiver. Likely or unlikely?
Unlikely. If they were going to trade up to make a splash, they could have kept Tyreek Hill. So I think they keep all that draft capital. And as you know, Greeny, this draft is loaded with wide receiver. Maybe it's Jahan Dotson from Penn State, Christian Watson, North Dakota State. There will be quality receivers at the bottom half of the first round. I don't think they move.
All right. And then Neek, Baker Mayfield starting as a quarterback in the NFL next season. Is that likely or unlikely?
I think it's likely that he finds a start or two next season. He might. I mean, if the Steelers, he ends up in Pittsburgh, that's one place where he might be able to start day one. But I think it's going to be hard for him to find a day one job. But he's good enough to, at some point, get a start somewhere. The Texans, anybody.
Well, I mean, with that thought in mind, I want you guys to hear what the legendary Monday Dan said yesterday, because it was Monday and he was on Get Up talking about Baker Mayfield. And in this case, I think I sort of agree. This was Dan.
I think it gets resolved this weekend, and I think Baker Mayfield walks away as the steal of the NFL draft. If you're looking at him through the lens of 2020, and you sit there in this draft, and you want a quarterback, and you get to that third or fourth round, and the guy that you don't want is there, and you sit there and say, I'm going to trade a fourth round pick for a guy that 4 years ago was the number one pick in the draft, for a guy that 2 years ago led his team to the playoffs and was top 10 in the QBR, I understand the finances are what they are. That's above my brain power. But Baker Mayfield has the opportunity to walk away as the steal of the NFL draft.
So there are a lot of moving pieces in that. I see Mike Tannenbaum laughing because he's a general manager. And before that, he was a cap guy. So he knows the money, the finances is always a huge part of it. But let's just deal in the football of it for a minute. If we live in a world now where every team is trying to win every single year, Baker Mayfield might be, Dominique, he might be right. Baker Mayfield for a fifth round pick is a steal.
Yeah, I think Baker's the best quarterback in the draft. If he was in the draft this year, he's better than other quarterbacks out there. And I think he's better than a couple of quarterbacks that are starting. So if you are looking to maximize your season, I think that Baker Mayfield is the choice. If you're looking to maximize your team's success over the next several years, I think it's really hard to justify bringing Baker Mayfield at this price tag and what the price tag will be to keep him on your roster. So it's you're asking two different questions, and Baker is a quarterback that I guess if you were in win now mode and we only need a quarterback, then you bring him in. But the problem is he was just on a team that was like that and it didn't work out.
I understand, but that team had the option to get Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson is an infinitely better player than him and better than almost everybody else also. So, Mike T, let me come to you again. Dominique just described it as win-now mode. I'll describe it as desperation mode. Yeah. If Baker Mayfield was more desirable, he wouldn't be available right now. But for teams that are desperate as a quarterback, isn't he the best option right this minute?
Possibly, maybe for 1 year in Carolina where Matt Rhule is desperately trying to keep his job. But I would draft Kenny Pickett at six and never look back. He was a player that got better every year. He's more athletic than Baker Mayfield. He's bigger than Baker Mayfield and has more upside. So while Baker Mayfield may be slightly better initially, I think for the Panthers, I would take Kenny Pickett and not look back. And really, I think what's going to happen is when it's all said and done, the Cleveland Browns will either eat all or substantially all of Baker Mayfield's $18 million guaranteed salary this year.
Mike, I already hate myself for asking you this question. But Kenny Pickett, when he is drafted, will have the smallest hands of any quarterback, starting quarterback in the National Football League. Does that matter or not?
It wouldn't, except that he's fumbled it 27 times. So the hand size with his proclivities of putting the ball on the ground would be a concern, but hopefully that's something that they can work on in terms of ball security, two hands on the balls. But hand size alone isn't a factor. but the fumbles and the hand side would be a concern.
All right, and so then let me turn back to Jeremy Fowler here. Tell me what you're hearing around the league. I mean, this thing has to play itself out.
Well, Greeny, I've been checking on this just now. Teams are essentially waiting on Baker Mayfield to be released. They don't want to have to give up draft capital for him. They know that the Browns are back in the corner here, owing him $19 million in guaranteed money. That's where I think Seattle would jump in. We've heard about Seattle earlier on because they have a quarterback void. They wouldn't really go for him on a trade if he's released. I do believe that they would explore, possibly jump on that. Carolina is torn on Baker Mayfield. There are people in their building who are not overly sold on him. And so it's not a slam dunk that despite their need and them being sort of a pivot point in the draft at number six overall, that they do anything at all. We'll see what happens day two and three. This could heat up.
We know one person in the Carolina building who's not excited about it. That's Robbie Anderson, the receiver, who posted no with a bunch of O's on it at the very notion of signing Baker Mayfield. Let's live in that world then, Dominique. If the Browns do wind up in a position where they have to release him, which I agree with Jeremy, that feels likely here, give me some teams you think should be making that call.
Yeah, I think Seattle should be making the call. I think the Steelers should be making the call. I understand the idea of bringing him into Carolina, but Carolina, I think, needs a serious look at a more long-term answer. I like them looking at the draft more than looking at Baker Mayfield. But what's really interesting to me about this Baker Mayfield thing is I think it has to do with more, or his personality has something to do with what's happening to him. Because we've seen Carson Wentz bounce around, and Carson Wentz, not just to single him out, your number one overall pick who's put up reasonably good seasons. Yeah. Shouldn't be this hard to find a job. There's something else going on with the way that teams are evaluating adding him to their roster and adding him to his locker room. And that's something Baker, unfortunately, has to address.
What is that something, Jeremy?
It's the personality, whether they feel he's too abrasive or maybe they think he's cocky. There's some of that. And those are elements that I believe some teams and some executives around the league are trying to figure out. Now, I've talked to some other teams that are shocked. They're honestly shocked that he has not been able to find footing on the trade market. But they say, hey, he's had two good seasons that led him to the playoffs. So somewhere in the middle, a team will settle in here. And they'll feel like they're settling a little bit because the quarterback class is just not good enough. So if you feel like Mayfield's just the best of your options, then you sort of take what you can get. But it's not going to be with a lot of admiration and motivation to do it.
If he winds up on the Steelers, you're talking about Baker Mayfield, who was the first pick in the draft, and Mitchell Trubisky, who was the second pick in the draft, competing for a starting job. That'd be interesting to see. One way or another, this is all going to play itself out this week, and we will be there to cover it for you. The NFL draft starts Thursday night here on ESPN. We'll have every pick. We'll be there in Vegas with all of our expert analysis. Draft also available on NFL Network, and ABC's coverage will focus on the prospects' journey to the draft. Our first round coverage begins Thursday, 8 Eastern. All 3 days will be available on ESPN Deportes. Coming up, First Take coming up. They'll dive into what exactly went wrong with the Nets and much more. Stephen A., Molly, Big Perk, J.J. Redick on the way. Don't miss it. Top of the hour here on ESPN. You want hockey? This is the place. Hockey night matchups coming your way. Connor McDavid, the Oilers in Pittsburgh to take on Crosby and the Pens. 7 Eastern, then out west, the Avs and the Blues. Both games also available on ESPN+. And then, if you like hockey, one more time, I love this. This is NFL superstar Micah Parsons dropping the puck at an AHL game last night. They told him, go out there and drop the puck. And so that's exactly what he did.
Here's your puck.
How long do you think it would take Micah Parsons?
He's not waiting for the captains.
I just wonder how long you think it would take Micah Parsons to learn how to play hockey. Like, he'd probably be the best player in the AHL. Give him a couple years. He could figure it out.
That's why you said it earlier. He's a great football player. They said, go drop the puck. He said, you got it, coach. He went out and he dropped the puck.
He completed the assignment.
Follows instructions.
That is awesome. All right, great day today. Thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. The fun continues. First Take now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.